Good morning. If you have access to the copy of the Word of God, will you turn with me in the New Testament to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Yesterday we began chapter 5 and we got through the first three verses, or into the third verse, and I'd like to begin there once again. Let me start with verse 1 and we'll read it, but we'll begin to seriously look at verse 3 in its concluding portion. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Implies they would escape if they could. I am afraid destruction is headed for America, and there are too many people who don't think it can happen here. Do you realize how tenuous, how thin, how weak our grip on our security is, when all it would take would be one terrorist carrying one vial of some biological agent to wipe out great, huge numbers of our population? Doesn't take a bomb, doesn't take guns, takes a hatred in the heart, a little ingenuity, and all of the peace and safety that our leaders have talked about, all of the security, all of that false, all is right, all is well, that our religious leaders have been crooning and lulling people into a slumber, all of that will be for nothing. It's an interesting thing, and I don't mean to be a doomsayer here or to try to terrify you, but as a student of the Word of God, I have looked in vain for years for some mention of America in Bible prophecy. It is not there. It simply is not there. Now, there are people who say, oh, yes, it is, and they will take a verse out of context, they'll take a phrase and twist it and try to work it around to be something that might possibly refer to something that could be construed to be the United States of America. But, my friend, if you're talking about plain, simple language, it's not there. Now, why is that? Well, I can give you two reasons, and neither one of them give much comfort. Number one, something has happened to America, and in the end time events that are described in the Bible, America is no longer a player, no longer a major influence on the world scene, which could indeed foreshadow some tremendous catastrophe that would destroy America's influence. A plague, man-made plague released, some sort of chemical agent released, any number of things are possible. The second possibility, and I find absolutely no comfort in this either, is that America might be so closely aligned with the government of the Antichrist as to have no independent say or influence or impact on events in the world in Bible prophecy. Either one, my friend, will be tied directly to the failure of the Church of Jesus Christ to do the work that Christ left the church here to do. Let's go on here, because I want to build on this. Look what it says. They shall not escape. Verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. And it goes on. Now wait. Let me give you just a little current event kind of look at this thing. He said, we're the day, we're the night, we're not of the night. We are to be awake, we are to be sober, we're to be on guard. From time to time, it amuses me Unfortunately, I don't mean in a hilarious sense. I find it ironic. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. For years, the churches in our Tri-County area have been asleep. They slumber when a deadly slumber. When the souls of men pass out into eternity with very little effort to redeem them. Once in a while, somebody says, "Hey, let's wake up here. We need to be doing something. Time's getting short. We need to do something here for God." And there's a great flurry of activity. And in the final analysis, they go back to sleep. The final analysis, all of the great activity, all of the big hoopla, all of the effort and the money raised goes for what? Very little. Coming up here in the next few days, there's a thing that's been advertised and supported, and churches have been working on raising money. Now, friend, let me tell you something. When people get so excited about winning the lost that they get up and on their own walk across the yard or across the road to talk to their lost loved ones or neighbors, we'll see something happen in our area. When God's people quit playing games and quit sucking up to entertainment and turn to Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our salvation, then we can see some revivals. Then we can see some evangelistic effort be blessed. But in a day when everything has to be spectacular, everything has to titillate, everything must be geared toward entertainment, as it is in a market-driven church, a seeker-friendly church. Find out what the people want and then give it to them. It may not be what they need, but give it to them and they'll come. And if they come, that's money in the plate, isn't it? If they come, then that increases your attendance and that makes you look more successful, doesn't it? And the end justifies the means. But is it the end? Is it the result that God orders? Is it what He wants? Now, I've been criticized roundly for not participating in some of these activities. I've gotten several letters urging me to give to the support of this latest fantasy. Listen, my friend, the gospel is for free, and if a man has been called by God to preach the gospel, he ought to preach it in the power of the gospel. And instead of that, I find that men are gathering together, churches are banding together, and raising $20,000, almost $20,000, to bring in a team of quote-unquote specialists to do what the church should have been doing for the last 50 years. It is a pathetic and ill-advised attempt, a sensational, "Yes, we're going to get many people won to Christ." Really? Really? I may be a little narrow-minded and a really, really out-of-step fogey, old fogey with the times, but my Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Not the spectacle, not the carnival. Ministers of God are supposed to be ambassadors for Christ, not World Federation of Wrestler wannabes. I realize that these words may well offend some of you. I don't know that it's going to affect how much you send to support this ministry. Frankly, I don't think you're wasting that much money on it anyway, are you? My friend, you are supposed to wake up. You are supposed to be the day. These things ought not to overtake you as one that is asleep. You say, "What happened?" You go to sleep at night this time of the year and you wake up and there's snow on the ground. When did that happen? Well, obviously it happened last night when you were asleep. Well, while you've been asleep, your neighbors have been dying without Christ. While you've been asleep and not teaching your children the Word of God, they've been going to hell in a handbasket, and you wonder why they have problems with drugs. You wonder why You wonder why they're promiscuous. You wonder why young people are taking guns to school and killing their classmates. I'll tell you why. Because people who name the name of Christ, preachers and parents alike, have failed to carry out the commission. They have rebelled against the clean, pure teaching of the Word of God, heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears who will tell them what they want to hear, that the Bible is out of date, that we need to change to keep step with the times. And look at our education system. Look at our young people. And you think a carnival is going to change that. Well, what happens when the strong men walk away? What happens when the performers pack up their trunks and leave? Leave you to pick up and carry on what you should have been doing all along. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light. Now, does it say everybody's? No, the Thessalonians, these who have named Christ, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. So why is it that all that is popular with contemporary Christianity seems to either be coming out of the disco or from faces that look like they've got an attitude big enough to take on the world? Where is the power of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit? Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Watch in the sense of spectating? No. Not as a spectator. Let us watch as a guard watches, as a sentry watches, as a sentry is on guard to cry and lift up the alarm when he sees the enemy coming. When he sees a problem, he is the one to sound the alarm. Let us watch and be sober, not stupid, not silly. My friend, you need to have your head on straight, and you need to see things with a single eye. You need to see things as they are, not as you wish they were. You cannot live on yesterday's promises. You cannot live on the thrills of yesterday and the victories of yesterday. You promised the Lord you'd do certain things in the past. You haven't made good on those promises yet, have you? You saw answers to prayer, but that was then and not now. There was a time when you had the joy of the Lord in your heart, and now what passes for joy is nothing more than endorphins in your bloodstream as you hop around shaking your tambourine, stomping your foot to somebody's ungodly contemporary Christian music. And you're fooling yourself. And hardly anyone else. You're not fooling your kids. You're certainly not fooling God. Dear friend, I do not ask that you like what I say. I ask that you think about it. I ask that you evaluate it and see for yourself, what does the Bible say?